So today we're going to start a new series called The Road Ahead. Say that back to me.
The Road Ahead.
The Road Ahead. And the title today will be Start Where You're Stuck. Say that back to me. Now forget it. We'll get to it in a minute. You know, if your car is stuck in a ditch or in a mud hole, and you're on an important trip, you've got an important engagement, I started thinking about that. You don't start thinking about when you're in the ditch or in the mud hole, you don't start thinking about what you're going to do when you get to your destination. You're in the mud hole, you're in the ditch, you're not thinking about, this is what I'm going to do when I get there. Your first thought should be this: getting out of what you're stuck in and address where you are. That's key. You must address where you are. What's going on? Because that's where your forward progress must start. Hear this. We ask, how do I move forward? I feel like I'm stuck. I feel like that mud hole's getting deeper. I don't know how to. I don't know if I can survive it. Let me say this: you're going to survive. You are surviving. But let's go beyond that, Dr. Collier. Let's go beyond survival. Let's go into victory. Into abundance. I don't want to just survive. Do you? We want the abundance. So if you think you've missed, this is something you need to remember as we go forward in this series. If you think you've missed your moment, how many people have ever thought, I just missed my time. I missed the opportunity. No, if you think you've missed your moment, God hasn't. If you think you've missed your moment, God hasn't. Even when you feel like your life is on pause, pause button's been pushed, and your progress is stalled, you have to hear it. He's ready to move right where you are today. Wherever you are is where he's ready to move and get you going. So I will say to myself and to all of you listening today, don't let hesitation hold you back. Hesitation will equal devastation. For any of you that you're driving in traffic, especially if you're riding a motorcycle, you understand if you hesitate, you can get killed. So don't let hesitation hold you back. Your breakthrough, say my breakthrough, starts the moment you say yes. Yes to faith, Deb, and no to doubt. Yes to faith and no to doubt. Faith is powerful. Faith says, I know God is with me. Faith says Jesus is alive and he's well and he's seated at the right hand of the Father and all power has been given to him in heaven and in earth. You realize that? All power has been given to Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth, and he says, I give it to you. We miss that. So I'm sure not living it. Well, whose fault is that? It's not his. He's given you the power. He's given you the ability. So, it starts the minute you say yes to faith and no to doubt. You are not finished. Let me say it again. You are not finished. But you understand that I'm getting older now. I'm nigh on to 50 years old. I'm now on to 37. The truth of the matter is, you're not finished. You are a work of glory in progress. You're a work in progress, and God is trying to do something in your life. The greatest hindrance to your life, you've heard me say this before, is the person that brushed your teeth this morning. That is the greatest hindrance in my life is me. And that's where my mud hole is a lot of times. It's me. It's not Doc. It's not Terry. It's not Rihanna. It's sometimes Steve. But other than that, it is not It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with me. So what do we do about that? We've got to get out of that rut and we've got to keep moving forward. Let me say it. God is not done yet. This is for us, the East West Church, the family of God. God is not done yet, and neither are we. We are not finished. We are not complete. Oh, we're whole because of the power of Christ, but we're not complete in finishing what he wants us to do. Because there's more miracles, there's more salvations, there's more deliverance. There's so many more things that we can accomplish together. Together we can accomplish anything, by the way. I believe that, like, just prayer. You say, well, prayer, does it really change things? Ask Jeanette, does prayer change things? Butch, does prayer change things? Randy, does prayer change things? Jimmy, does prayer change things? You go around the room and you'll find out prayer really changes things. Prayer changes my position with God in that I see him more clearly. You understand that? So let me take you to a verse that you know so well, and we'll reference it several times as we go forward. In Isaiah 43, verse 18, forget the former things. We've got a lot of mud holes out there. We've got a lot of ditches. But forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Reading from the New International Version. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, and you do not perceive it. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So where do I start, Bishop? Where do I start? Here comes the title. Start where you're stuck. You start where you're stuck. You know, we've all had these moments, and I know you're gonna relate to this. We've all had this moment where I call it buffering moments. What do you mean? You know the ones. We're all sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden you got an important program you want to watch, and you go to it, and it's something happens, and this little circle goes, and it keeps spinning. You're on your computer. It keeps spinning. On your phone, it keeps spinning. And all of a sudden, I found myself talking to that infernal machine. I mean, we're sitting there shouting at the screen. Now, I don't, but Denise definitely does. Just shouting at the screen, come on, won't you do something? I'm tired of watching the circle go round and round and round and round and round and round. And that's the way sometimes we get into that rut, don't we? But let me say this. The Lord spoke to me. He said, sometimes the solution is unplug and reset. That's what the Lord said to me. He said, sometimes it's just that simple. You unplug because you're in a rut. You're doing things you don't need to be doing. You're experiencing things you don't need to be experiencing. You're working yourself silly and going nowhere. So unplug and reset. And that may be a solution for some of us sitting here today. Some of us, including myself, Jason, sometimes we need to unplug and reset. You're sitting there, you're shouting at the screen, and that shout does nothing for it, does it? Because it is doing something internally. Sometimes, as I said, the solution is pulling yourself away from it so that you can get clarity. You need clarity. I call it the buffering moments. How many of you have had those in your life? Your life. I'm not talking about your TV now, your computer. I'm talking about your life, buffering moments. You see, that's how it feels sometimes. We start feeling like there's more ahead, but I'm not getting ahead. Feels like we're stuck in a moment and we can't move forward. We're just stuck there. You say, maybe it's in my faith. Well, maybe it's in your faith, or maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in your relationships. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's you thinking about your future, but you are buffering. You keep feeling the spinning wheel inside your soul. It's just a spinning wheel inside your soul. Now, let me say this. until you have a relationship with Jesus, that wheel's going to keep spinning. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. That's what we need. I need to know him. And we need to know more than just what preachers are preaching. It's not my relationship with Jesus. It's your relationship with Jesus. As I said every week, and I talk about it every week, I study near-death experiences, and one of them that talked to Jesus said, I have somewhat ought with my churches because they're teaching me but not the real me. That should indict us. That's a heavy statement. They're teaching about me but not the real me. See, the real me is totally different than what denominations and what people they have made Jesus to be. He wants relationship. Jesus wants relationship. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to love him. And he wants you to know that he loves you. Is that clear? But we start feeling that spinning in our soul. We feel like, well, I feel like I've been paused. But don't feel pause, because God is already working. The buffering is there, but you have to hear me today. No matter what you're feeling, your feelings will lie to you. God is already working. What you have in your life starts now, and you don't have to start with a perfect condition. I'm waiting for the perfect condition. Well, how many people know that perfect condition doesn't come? I'm waiting for the perfect conditions to start again. But what if the road ahead, think about it for a moment. What if the road ahead begins right where you are? I mean, exactly with what you're in right now. Remember what he said in Isaiah 43. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing. God didn't say, I might do a new thing. God did not say in that verse, I might do a new thing. He said, I'm doing it, present tense, right now. God is doing a right now moment in you, right now. If you need healing, it's right now. If you need deliverance from something, it's right now. If you need God to open up a door for you, it's a right now moment. Amen? And even when it doesn't look like he's doing anything, God is at work in the middle of what feels like it's motionless. You may not feel the motion, but God is at work. He's doing something in your life. Most of the troubles we have is self-inflicted. We've done it to ourselves. Well, God needs to take this demon of drug addiction away from me. Who got you into that? Well, I'm just that demon of alcoholism. Well, who got you into that? Did somebody hold you down and pour it in your mouth? No, now that's not whatever. Butch's trying to say that happened. That didn't happen, Butch. Who got you into that affair? You got in that bed. I'm going to try to get it right where you live today. Because the problem is, we get ourselves into situations and we want God to instantaneously take care of it. But there are certain things that are called the process you're going to have to go through in order to get out of it, out of that rut. And just because it's buffering doesn't mean that God's not working. God's working constantly and consistently working on your behalf. God's trying to set you free. He's trying to set me free. Man, there's so many years all I did was worry about how in the world we're going to make it this time and do this and do that and have this program and that program. And God said, I'm not in any of that. That's stuff you designed. That's not stuff I designed. God wants people to worship him. And you'll never get ahead on that road until you understand its personal relationship and worship with God. So even when it doesn't look like God's working, as the song said, he's working. He's right in the middle. right in the middle of your pause. So ask yourself this. Where in your life have you been waiting? Where in your life have you been waiting for perfect conditions to change? Before you change. Perfect conditions. If I do this, I'll quit drinking. If I do this, I'll quit overeating. If I quit this, I might go back to school. Or some of you need to quit going to school and go to work. You can shake your head, I'm telling the truth. I found out this week, Doc, it's important, this is a good fact. And this was they were talking about education. They said that more people are getting jobs coming out of high school than coming out of college now. Yes. It is a fact. More people are getting jobs coming out of high school than they are out of college, because college is just, it drains you and it doesn't position you for where you need to be. See, I have a theory. If you're going to be an electrician, you need to learn to do electrical work. If you're going to be a surgeon, I think they ought to poise you and get you positioned for that. If you're going to be a painter, I think you need to start working it as a painter and develop that skill. But we go and we, I'm going to get off onto something here. We go and we learn nonsensical things to get jobs. And most of the things we study, we'll never use. So where have you been waiting in life for that perfect condition? Because that's usually where God wants to begin. Right where you are. Not for the perfect condition. We're waiting for more money. Well, I get more money, I'm gonna get me a house, or I'm going to get me this, or I'm going to get me that. And you know, I found out something, Doc. It doesn't matter how much money you make, you're going to want. How many found that true in their own life? I thought to myself, I could just make this much money. I remember working at a grocery store and making $15, $20 a week. And I thought, man, if I could just have $100 a week. Well, the more you make, the more you spend, you get girlfriends, it's gone. So the more you make, the more you try to buy your happiness. My happiness is in not a dollar bill. My happiness is in knowing that God has my destiny. And he's getting me out of my rut. He's getting me out of that ditch. He's getting me out of those situations that Deb may care about me, but she can't get me out of it. My wife, she may love me, but she can't get me out of some of the things, situations that I allowed myself to get in. You have to bring yourself out of it. You have to do it. I can't work out for you and build your muscles. And I can't eat a meal today and you be full. It's impossible. But we wait for more money before we move. We're waiting for more confidence before we step out. Big mistake. You're waiting for more clarity before you obey. I've got to have more clarity before I can obey this. Well, I'm telling you, God often starts where we stop. God often starts where we stop. You see, we're trying, this came to me, we're trying in our own human condition to do a new thing. God said, I'll do a new thing. But in our human condition, we're trying to do a new thing. And God is saying to me today and to you, he's saying, stop it. That's my job. Yes. Quit trying to do a new thing. I'm going to do it. Amen. I've already started it. All you're doing is messing it up. Because we think we know better than God. You've heard me say it before. God's not sitting up in heaven scratching his head wondering, well, I wonder what Butcher's going to do today. He already knows. He knows how much you can take. He knows what you're going through. And he knows what it's going to take to get you out of that ditch. But we're going to have to wake up and realize who we are and understand our personal limitations and understand God's great, his excellence. It's not our limitations, his excellence. I may not be making sense right now, but there's so many things in my spirit when I understand that God is trying to position his people for something they have not experienced before. God is saying, it's my job. We're trying to make it, I'm trying to work up God. You can't work up God. I'm going to get in there today and jump around and shout and scream, and I'm going to work up God. You're not working up God, you're working up yourself. You know, everybody hates construction, especially when you're driving. If you've ever been driving down the road, I have, and a sign says, road work ahead, flagman ahead, road work ahead. It gets a little frustrating, especially if you've got a time frame, right? My wife, she jerks out the GPS trying to find ways around it. Sometimes that's impossible. But you get slowed down and you get angry. You get all out of sorts, Damon. I mean, you're all out of sorts. And you keep wondering, when will things move again? I'm sick of this. But the sign means something. Really? Bishop, yeah, I can read. No, the sign means something. It means something is happening. What do you mean? It's happening. It's not the end of the road. The road has not stopped. It's the beginning of improvement. That's what the road sign means. It's the beginning of improvement. It's not the end of the road. So you may have those road signs in your life, but it's not the end of the road. God is doing some improvement. And I'm going to tell you this. Most of us here today, including myself, we need improvement. We honestly need improvement. We need God to help us to find out who we really are. We really need that. That's what God was saying in Isaiah 43. Don't dwell on the past. Construction is underway. Construction is underway. So I look at the dust, the delay, the detour. It's all evidence. It may be in your life, the dust, the delay, the detour, but it's all evidence that God is working on something new in your life. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Relax into it. Just relax into it and know that God has a plan. He's got a plan for your life. I don't know how far I'm going to go into this today because I do want to pray for you. All of those things is God's, it's evidence that God is working on something new in your life. But we, with our own human thinking, how many people know that's where we get in trouble? We, with our own human thinking, we have a problem. We get caught up in this one word. Here we go on this road. It's called regret. I call it the mud hole. But we get caught up in regret. I regret. Here's what the Spirit said to me this week. Regret is an enemy to progress. Regret is an enemy to progress. When we live in regret, we regress and stop progress. We regress and we stop progress. Regret. This word, this attitude, this action is a weight we must shed. We must get rid of that word in our lives. Not just the word, but what we feel. The things associated with that word. Because what we're carrying is the baggage of regret. Everywhere we go, we got these baggage. We're bumping into people we regret. We're walking through crowds we regret. We're acting off because of regret. We're not doing what we should do because we're walking in regret. I don't regret nothing. Honestly, I don't. Because everything I've done has made me who I am. And that's a process. And I'm learning. Everything I've done has made me who I am. And some things I might be ashamed of, but it made me. It made me who I am. Has anybody else ever been down that road? Things you might be ashamed of? Terry raised both your hands. But we got the baggage. We're carrying it around. You can't drive into your future looking over your shoulder, looking back. Regrets, regrets, regrets. Some of us are replaying old failures. We've had some old failures and we keep replaying them. I should have been further by now. I should have been further along than that by now. Some of y'all have gotten pretty far, and you just don't realize how far you've gotten. If I hadn't made that mistake, regret. If I'd only listened then, but you're not listening now. Someone told me one time, if you'd have told me, I said, no. If I'd have told you, you'd have done exactly what you were going to do anyway, you're going to listen to what you want. You're not listening to me. That's why I quit marriage counseling. I used to do it, man, when I was a young pastor, I was hip-hop ready. And all these husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends come in, they're talking about marriage. And I'm sitting there and tell them, this is what's going to happen. And, okay, go right out and do exactly what I told them not to do. I said, so what use? They just wasted my time. Because they're not doing the right thing. They're not listening. And most people will not listen. I tell them, look, you need to be careful. Don't take that job because that job might be destructive. I told two people that. One sitting right here, he did exactly what I said and he became top of his game. Right?
Yes, sir.
Another one I told and his life fell apart. Went to move to Dallas, Texas, and everything that could go wrong went wrong. And he even said to me, that man said, don't pray for me because I don't want God to stop me. That's what he said. Don't pray because I want to do this anyway. Well, my Lord, what a crazy, foolish statement that man made. They lost a lot of stuff. People died. Family members, car wrecks killed them. It just happened. All because they asked me, and then said, but don't pray because I want to do it anyway. Did that make sense to anybody? If I ask you for prayer, I'm asking for help. Now listen to this. The enemy loves to trap you in a loop of what could have been, so you'll never see what still can be. He catches you in that loop. Here we go. You never see what can be because you're still waiting for what could have been. Satan, the enemy of your soul, wants to keep you buffering. He don't want you to break free. God says, forget the former things. Why? Why does he say that? Does that make sense? Because you can't undo the past. But you can invite God into your present. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for you. But hear this in close. I'm going to put a caboose on this. Not that I'm finished by any stretch. But I do want to pray for you. When God called Moses from the burning bush, Moses tried to negotiate. Here's what he said. Well, now, God, I can't speak well. I'm in a mud hole. I'm in a ditch. I can't speak well. I stutter a lot. So he's negotiating with God. He said, I'm not qualified. I can't lead these people. I'm a murderer. I came out of Pharaoh's house. He starts negotiating. He said, send someone else. But, everybody say but. But God didn't wait for Moses to become eloquent. Here's what he said to him in Exodus 4:10. He said, who gave human beings their mouths? That's what God said back to Moses. Who gave human beings their mouths? Now go and I will be with you. Notice the words. Go and I will be with you. It's like in giving. God speaks to your heart to give something. You think, I can't do that. Not realizing that if you do it, God goes with you. God just goes with me. That's why I believe in supporting certain things, because I want God to go with me. I want God to go with me. I want to support. While I can do it, I want to make sure that I'm helping other ministries. Why? Because there's coming a day that God may call us into an area to do something that we're really going to need God to help us. So, God didn't start with what Moses wished he was. Moses was wishing he could talk well, wishing he was a great leader. He started with Moses where Moses already was. He used the staff in his hand and the stutter in his mouth. What does that mean? Here it is. Sometimes God doesn't remove your limitation. He redeems it. What do you mean by that? He'll use your limitation. God will rescue and save you even with your negative situation. He'll redeem it. So you think that you're not capable, he'll take your incapabilities and he'll make something out of it. What can God do for me? Well, I'm going to ask you, what can you do for God? What does God want from you?